Well, I want to thank that beautiful ladies' group, and I want to thank Brother Ralph for the specials today. Appreciate those good songs. I want to call your attention to some scripture found in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. I want to read about the first 11 verses of Acts chapter 1 for a scripture lesson today. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. It says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And that's reading the first 11 verses of the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. I want to use this for a title today, Proof of Life. Proof of Life. And if we look back at what we are told in the third verse that I read from Acts chapter 1, we find that Jesus did not only rise from the dead, but he rose from the dead and proved it. He proved it. And I love the way that Luke recorded this. He said that he showed himself alive after his passion, which just means after his sufferings, after the things which he suffered. He showed himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs. Many infallible proofs. You know, he was making a point, wasn't he? Jesus showed himself alive. He proved himself by many infallible proofs. He said, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. If we look at the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, in the third verse, The Apostle Paul said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again according to the Scriptures." And he said, "And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." And Brother Jackson made the statement this morning at the sunrise service that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the great foundation on which we stand. And we read in the, also there in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where I just read some, the Apostle Paul says there that if it were not for the resurrection, then our faith is in vain, our preaching would be in vain, we would be yet in our sins. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it tells us that He was delivered for our offenses. Because of our sins, Christ came into the world and died. He was delivered for our offenses. He was the propitiation for our sins. He took our sins up on Him and took them to the cross. But that verse goes on and says, He was raised again for our justification. And so not only did He make the atonement, not only did Christ shed His blood, which was the only that was sufficient to wash away our sins, but He also went to the grave, and on the third day He rose by His own power. And the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John gives record of Jesus having said that He had the power to lay it down, and He had the power to take it up again. And He did both of those things. You know, Jesus, He wasn't just crucified because He was overcome by the strength of men. He gave His life. He said, "I have the power to give it up, and I have the power to take it up again." And so He did that which was necessary. He did all that was necessary in order for you and I to be able to be saved. And had it not been for Him rising from the dead, then we would not be able to be here today rejoicing in the salvation of our soul. And so, again, in the first chapter of Luke, Luke tells us here, rather, that He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs. Now, we know that we read in the Scriptures that there were those that when the Lord was crucified, that there were those that had recalled that He had said that He would rise again. There were those that, you know, thought, well, he's going to pull some type of trickery. His disciples are going to pull something to make people think that He rose again. And so they, you know, they set men in place to guard the tomb, that wouldn't happen. But you know what? The Bible tells us that it was not possible that He should be holden of death. And so it doesn't make any difference what anybody did. They were not going to stop the Lord Jesus Christ from rising from the dead. And we know how that we read in the Gospel according to John, how that after he had resurrected, how that he appeared out there on the shore to his disciples when they were out there, and Peter had said, "Well, I go a fishing," and the other said, "Well, we'll go too." And they had gone out there and they were out fishing, and they looked up there and they saw someone standing on the shore, and it was Jesus. And we read about how that when the Apostle Peter realized that it was Jesus, because he wasn't wearing very much, that he even jumped into the sea there, and how that they came to the shore. And we read about how that after the Lord had risen from the dead, that he met with the disciples, he talked with them, he ate with them, and just like he had done before he ever went to the cross. We read about how that Thomas had said, unless he would see the print of the nails in his hand and be able to thrust his hand into the wound in his side, that he just would not believe. And Jesus appeared unto them, and he told Thomas that he could do that very thing. He invited him to do that very thing that he said it would take in order for him to believe that he had risen from the dead. And when he did that, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And so he proved that he was alive. Now, Jesus didn't stay here a great deal of time. He stayed here, as we read here, that he was seen of them 40 days and spoke to them of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. But in that time that he was here after his resurrection, he proved by many infallible proofs that he was indeed alive, that he had risen from the dead, that there had not been some kind of magic trick or something pulled. He had died on the cross. He had been taken down and been buried, and he had risen from the dead. And therein lies the gospel message, that Jesus came and died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead. If we go back to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said in the first verse, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." So what is the message of the gospel? What is the message of the gospel? Well, it's Paul said he delivered unto them what he had received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, how that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And I'm telling you that that message down through the years has been preached, and the Holy Spirit of God has empowered the truth of the gospel message, and people have been convicted of their sins, and people have been saved and come to know the Lord personally, to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. I'm thankful for the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us through his death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. Now, I want to, as I said, I want to speak today for a little while about proof of life. And I want you to make note of this, that the Apostle Paul, there in those verses that I read from 1 Corinthians, he said that the Lord was seen of him also as of one born out of due season. And I want to say this, that we know from the things that some of the things that I have spoken about today how that the Lord, after he resurrected, how that he appeared to different ones, and how that at that time among those that were living at that time, how that he showed to them and proved to them how that he had indeed risen from the dead. But let's think about this. Has the Lord ever stopped doing that? Has he ever stopped proving? Is he not still today proving in the lives of people that he has indeed risen from the dead? The Apostle Paul, he was not one of the original 12 that the Lord called into the apostleship and that he ordained to be apostles. Paul was not among that original group. But let me ask you this. Saul, the persecutor, the day that he was traveling to Damascus to further persecute the saints of God and to bind them and to bring them back to Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus that day, did he not prove to Saul of Tarsus that he was indeed alive from the dead when he arrested his heart and said unto him, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest? Did not Paul have proof that day that the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed victorious over death? How about Stephen when he stood before that hostile crowd of people and they so despised what he told them that they began to gnash on him with their teeth? And Stephen, the Bible says that he, being full of the Holy Ghost, that he looked steadfastly into heaven, and did not the Lord Jesus Christ there that day open up heavens and show him that he was indeed alive? And the Lord is still proving in the lives of people that he has indeed risen from the dead. And I'm thankful for the time in my life. You know, listen, I grew up hearing this. I grew up in my mind believing this, but I'm thankful for the time in my life when I came in my heart to know that Jesus Christ was indeed risen from the dead, because he saved me by his grace, and he put his Spirit in my heart, and he took up abode with me, and he comes to us from time to time. Listen, I made mention of this morning, how that I love the Holy Scriptures. I love the inspired writings of God. I'm thankful today that I have this book that I can go to and I can study and I can read about the things of the Lord, and I can read facts that have been recorded about the life of Jesus while he was here in this world. But folks, I serve a God today that's way too big and way too powerful to be contained in a book. Solomon, when he was about to build the temple, he realized that the heavens of heavens could not contain him, let alone the temple that he was about to build. Jesus Christ is alive today. He's been alive. He told us in the first chapter of Revelation, he said, I am he that was dead and am alive forevermore. And he did indeed die on the cross, but he also did indeed rise from the dead. And as we read here in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, after that he had risen and after that he had proven himself alive by many infallible proofs, that he ascended up to heaven, they saw this, they witnessed this, they saw a cloud come and receive him out of their sight, and he went to heaven on a cloud, and there was angels there that appeared and assured them that it would be the very same Jesus that would one day fulfill his promise of coming again. You know, he had already promised that to them, that he, if he went away and prepared a place for them, that he would come again and receive them unto himself, that where he was, there they could be also. And so they watched him, and the angels confirmed that promise that it would be that same Jesus that would come back to them, that would come back one day. The God that I serve is coming back to get me. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming back one day to get you. He's coming back to gather all of his children from the four winds. The Apostle Paul told us the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ would rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Folks, I'm telling you, a dead Savior couldn't do all that. But a living Savior can, and he will. He will one day. One day we'll hear that trumpet blast. And you say, well, preacher, what if I've already died and left the world? That won't matter. That won't make one bit of difference. I'm telling you, that trumpet will sound so loud, that voice of the archangel will come forth with so much authority that the Bible tells us that those that are sleeping in the grave are going to hear his voice and come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And I'll tell you what, that doesn't mean those that have done good works. It means those that have made good by the blood of Jesus Christ will come forth. So when he ascended back to heaven, he sat down at the right hand of God. And ever since then, he has been making intercession for our prayers. And he is the only mediator between men and God. Paul said, there's one God, and there's one mediator between men and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And I want you to think about times in your life when the Lord proves to you again, when the Lord comes to you and he reminds you that he is alive. Folks, listen, that as the people of God today, that ought to excite us, that the Lord is alive. That ought to encourage us, and it ought to give us a great zeal to go and to tell others about him. Listen, if the resurrection doesn't motivate us as the people of God, if the resurrection of Christ doesn't motivate us, then let's just stop right here and let's get together on this altar and let's pray that God will help our hearts to be where they ought to be, because it is to motivate us to do his work. I'll prove that to you. Well, I'll let the scriptures prove it to you. I'll put it that way. Let's go back for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look at what's said in the very last verse of that chapter. The Apostle Paul had written a beautiful discourse to this church about the resurrection of Christ. He talked about how that we would put off this mortality and that we would be given immortality. How that we would put off this corruptible body, and that we would take on a body that was incorruptible one day. And in the 51st verse of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, behold, that's a big word in the scriptures. Behold, something very important here is being ready to be spoken of. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Listen, you know, our loved ones who were saved, you know, they when they left this world, our hearts were sad, but we can take courage because the day is coming when they'll be raised. We'll all of God's children will be raised. We'll be given a body that won't suffer the things that we did here. Death will be swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to how Paul concluded this beautiful discourse about the resurrection. He said, therefore, which means in view of this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because we serve a risen Savior. We serve a living Savior. We serve a Savior that the Bible says can save to the uttermost those that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me ask you something, my Christian friend today. Does the devil ever do this to you? Does he ever come to you and try to discourage you? Does he come to you and say, well, you know, you trying to witness to that person, there's no need of that. They're not going to listen to you. I could ask this question today of my preacher brothers, but I know what the answer is. Does he try to discourage you about your ministry and say, oh, you know, what you're doing, it's just in vain? Listen, our work in the Lord, Paul said, is not in vain. It's not in vain. God will still bless it today like He always has. Our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so we labor under the great banner of a risen, living Savior that's alive. And, you know, when He came to His church, He appeared to His church after His resurrection and commissioned her. He said that all power in heaven and in earth had been given unto Him. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I'm with you always. Do you think that there's still a living Savior with His church today? I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm glad Jesus came. Glory to His name. Oh, what a friend is He. He so freely gave His own life to save from bonds of sin set free. Sin and death have no dominion over the souls of them that have been saved. We've been set free. We've been set free. we have the privilege of knowing a living Savior. You see, He's real in our lives, isn't He? You know what? I feel confident in saying there's times when Brother Strode is up there leading a song that the Lord comes by and reminds him that he's alive. And you know what? When that happens, when the Lord does that, whether it does that with him or does that with us, when we're sitting out here singing the song, the Lord moves upon our hearts and reminds us that he's alive and just confirms that to us again. Boy, doesn't it change everything? I mean, it just changes everything when we can feel his presence, and we can feel his presence because he's alive. He's alive. We serve a risen, living Savior. And I want to say this, and then I'll stop. To anybody here today that's not been born again, if you've not repented of your sins and put your trust, all your heart, trusted with all your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved, you can be. He gave his life a ransom for your sins, and you can be saved if you will come to him and meet his conditions of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd like to ask Brother Strode if he would to come and lead another song for us. And let's just follow the Lord and do what he would have us to do. Thank you for your attention.
Number 99. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because Christ lives. Because he lives,
amen.
I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future,
amen.
And life is worth the living just because Because he lives.